want to hand over to Faye, who's going to be ministering the word of God this morning. Why don't you welcome her as she comes?
Morning, everyone. It is so good to see you all here this morning. You know, the Lord is wanting to do great things. And I think the very fact that you came this morning, you pressed through, you got out your car, you wound it up, whatever. You got here, so well done. Wound up, I don't know. Whatever kind of car you've got, wound yourself up to get here. But I'm going to continue with the series that we've been doing, which is For the One. And I've been just given such an amazing story about Jesus meeting just one person, but actually there's two people involved in the story, and maybe a few others. And we're going to go on a little journey with Jesus, and we're going to stop where he stops, and we're going to see what he wants to teach us as he does that. It's just such a privilege to share this with you today. And we know, don't we, that encountering Jesus can change everything. The one touch from the King can change everything. We've seen that in our lives. And it's not just in the Bible, but it is in our lives today. Many of you here have had an experience of encountering Jesus, probably in more than one occasion, where he has touched your life. And sometimes it doesn't happen straight away. And sometimes, you know, I've found this year, I've been really needing Jesus every single day. I mean, beyond that, but just really needing just to press through to be with him and to hold on to him and to hear what he's saying to me every single day. And sometimes circumstances don't change, but sometimes everything changes when you've met with Jesus and you meet with him and he just changes your perspective. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So, and I was just thinking of one thing. In my life, I remember praying. I really wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit for a long time. And I also really wanted to know in here that God loved me. And I used to struggle. I struggled for a long time. You know, if he sang a song like He Loves You, not that that song was out at the time, I was struggling with this. But any songs about God loving you, I'd be in tears. I'd be like, but I don't believe that he loves me. And I just struggled for that for a long time. And I remember meeting with this lady who discipled me, who introduced me to the Holy Spirit. And she was praying in tongues, and she was praying for me to pray in tongues. And I was like... And then I remember this other time she was trying to teach me to listen to God, and I was listening really intently. And all I could get was the ticking of the clock. Tick, tick, tick. And I was like, I just hear the clock ticking. I don't hear. And I was really earnestly wanting to hear God and really earnestly wanting to know him. And then when I went off to university, it was an incredible time when the Holy Spirit just was really moving across the country, really, in churches. And I went to a meeting, and you know, this was some time later, and I'd been praying. I'd read this book called 9 o'clock in the Morning. Does anyone remember that book about the Holy Spirit coming and transforming this church? And I remember sitting in my bedroom going, I'm not moving until I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, just like he did in the book. I am staying here. And I didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But this one time, I didn't stay there. I would have still been there, maybe. I don't know. Or maybe if I'd just been a bit more patient, I don't know. But anyway, there was this moment where I got prayed for, and I just encountered Jesus in here. I had known him before that. And it was like I've explained this to youth before, but it was like I had a little pilot light in my life where Jesus was, and he was like there. He was, you know, he was in my life and in my heart. And then it was like, you know, when the central heating comes on and the boiler goes, it was like that happened in my life. And suddenly I really knew that he loved me. I knew that he'd called me, that I was his beloved, and that he'd forgiven me. And it was like, it was life transforming. And all I can say is I felt like I'd been seeing things in black and white, and then I could see them in color, because that encounter with Jesus changed me. It changed me. It changed me. I've never been the same since then. And, you know, and I continually need to come back to him, to be filled up with that love again, because then I can live for him. I can live in the healing that he has for me. So, anyway, we're going to go back to Jesus, to this amazing story. So it's in Luke 8, verse 42 to 48, and it's sandwiched in between another miracle, but I'll talk a bit more about that in a minute, but we'll just read this. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone from me." And then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story of Jesus' healing. And I want us to notice a few things about it. The first thing is that Jesus was passing through. He was on a mission. He was on a mission to do something. He was on his way to do something else. So I want to create the scene for you. So I want you to imagine there's this guy, Jairus, and he's important. He's an important man. He is a ruler in the synagogue, and he's a man of privilege. And so he comes to Jesus, but he's desperate. He's saying, "Master, there's my daughter. She's my only daughter. She's 12 years old, and she's dying, and I need you to come." And imagine it's a movie. You could imagine at that moment the music starts. And people have already heard Jesus in town. So they're like, "Jesus in town, he heals people." And then, he's walking on a mission and the disciples, because you kind of get the idea that they didn't have it all together all the time, but they were like, "We're on a mission," and Jairus, he's quite important. And these religious people, well, they've been rejecting Jesus, but, maybe this is the moment where, one of them will see the power of God, and they're like, "Get away, he's important," and people are pressing in. They're like, "Oh, but he's like a celebrity in town," they're like, "Oh, I would love to see him, and I just want to see where he is." And he's there, he's on a mission, he's going to do something. Jairus is desperate, he's walking with Jesus, he's leading the way, and suddenly Jesus stops. And you could imagine if it was a film that the music would stop and the crowd would be like, what's he doing? And he says, "Who touched me?" He turns around, and you can imagine at this moment the disciples are like, "What is he doing now?" Because they know that Jesus has some kind of, he stops at odd times, and they're like, "Jesus, there's a mission, this is important, this guy's important, you know, there's a girl, she's dying." You can imagine Jairus is like, "Jesus, I'm desperate here. This is my daughter, she's dying, she's my only daughter." And they must have thought, this is a bit of an interruption. And when later on they find out who she is, they probably were thinking, "You stopped for her, Jesus? This is a 12-year-old girl. Why did you stop for her?" Now, I don't know about you and how you see interruptions in your life and how you see the things that come in, which sometimes are a bit disruptive. Things happen and you're like, "Oh, it's hard." Or people, sometimes it's people, they get in the way of what we're intending on doing. I'm a person who likes to get things done, and when things are going a bit wrong, I'm a bit like, "Why is it all going wrong?" And sometimes I feel like I have to go, "Holy Spirit, what are you trying to teach me? What are you doing in this interruption? What are you doing in this distraction? Are you doing something?" And I think sometimes God wants to teach you something. Like, I think for the disciples, they had something to learn, didn't they? They had something. They needed to learn to stop for the one person, and maybe stop for somebody who is, not as important as someone else. And I don't know what God was doing in Jairus. He must have been thinking, "Oh, what is going on? What is going on here?" But Jesus, maybe he was trying to build some faith in him and say that there was a greater miracle to come. And I just want to encourage us that sometimes in those distractions, sometimes God wants us to grow. And sometimes in those distractions, those things that interrupt things, sometimes he wants us to stop and love somebody. So I want to encourage us to slow down and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying in our lives. I want us to slow down and love someone. You may have friends that have tried everything and are desperate for Jesus. And I'd love you to slow down. I would love you, as we're approaching Easter and we're thinking about who we're going to invite to this Easter service, slow down. Who is it that Jesus wants you to love? Who is it that he wants you to speak to? It could be you. It could be your prayers that make a difference for someone's life. It could be your voice that speaks hope into someone who so desperately needs it. So that was Jesus. So he was passing through, and he was on a mission, but he was willing to stop. And then there's a woman, and she was pressing through. She was pressing through the crowd. Now, the woman was desperate, but she was determined. She was determined to get to Jesus. Now, what do we know about this woman? She'd had 12 years of suffering. This wasn't an instant hit. This wasn't an instant miracle straight away. She'd had 12 years of suffering. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. Now, despite what the adverts say, that, you know, when women have menstruation, that they are jumping out of skydiving and you know, cycling and all of that stuff. The reality is, it is not like that, okay? But I can't imagine. This woman obviously didn't just have that once a month. She was going through that for 12 years and was obviously having a problem with that. She was drained. She was tired. She was hurting. And so where was she at? She was poorly and she was in pain. And in another version of the gospel, it said that she was so desperate. She had spent all of her money on doctors and she had just got worse. She tried everything and she didn't have the NHS to help her. She had to pay everything. And I can't imagine what that was like for her. So not only was she a woman, which wasn't necessarily regarded well in their society, but she was poorly and she was in pain and she was poor. And in those 12 years, she wouldn't have had a child. And so the one thing women were known for and valued for was having children. But she definitely had. We don't know anything about her. We don't know if she'd had children before that, but certainly she hadn't had children in that time. And so maybe she was rejected by people. And because she was bleeding, she was, according to the law, according to the Old Testament, she was unclean. And she couldn't go to the synagogue. She couldn't go to the temple. She wasn't allowed because she was ceremonially unclean. So women would have to wait and they would have to go through certain ceremonies before they could go back and worship. So she was in shame. She was cast out from her community. She wasn't even allowed to go to the place of worship for 12 years. We think we've got it hard coming through the snow. But, you know, she was like, you know, she was desperate for Jesus. And you can imagine her coming to him. She was disappointed. She was obviously a religious woman. She obviously had faith. So I can imagine that she prayed. And she prayed again and again and nothing happened. And yet, she was disappointed. But yet, she just heard about this Jesus. She's heard that he's been healing people. She heard that he accepted people like her. She thought, well, maybe if I could just touch the hem of his garment, maybe if I could just sneak through the crowd, nobody will notice me. If I can just push the people out of the way and just reach out and touch him, maybe, just maybe, this might be my last chance, but it just may be the only chance that I have, my only hope, to go and to reach out to this man and find something. She'd heard about him, and something within her faith rose up within her again, and she thought, I'm gonna do it. And I know that I shouldn't touch him. He was a holy man. She shouldn't touch him. But she just thought, I'm going to do this. I know it's not acceptable to do this, but I'm gonna go through the crowd. And she just pushed her way through. And it was obviously a busting crowd, and he was in a hurry, but she chased him, and she reached out, maybe with that trembling hand, and touched the hem of his garment, not his garden. And instantly, she must have known instantly, she must have felt her strength being restored. She must have instantly felt the pain go and feel well again. She probably at that moment thought, oh my goodness, what's happened? And I just wonder, what is it that you need to push aside to get to Jesus? Is something crowding Jesus out in your life that you need to be encouraged to press back in, to spend some time with him? We're all busy, aren't we? We all say that we're busy. We've all got so many things, but are there some things, you know, it comes in line with the different words that were brought this morning. Maybe there's some things we need to stop doing. Perhaps we need to stop making ourselves turkey sandwiches. And if you weren't here when Lappy brought that word, that's going to sound very weird. But that maybe there's something you need to change in your life. Maybe there's something you need to cut out. You know, I was thinking about this thing here that many of us spend our time on games and social media and texting people. And, you know, maybe there's something, it's very addictive. There's lots of things that are very addictive and it's almost like they comatose us into, like, you know, out of reality and into whatever reality, I don't know. But is Jesus challenging you to push something aside? Maybe there's just too many people around you and you need to just move aside to be with Jesus. Maybe there's something that's taking your time and you need to just, something is just crowding him out and you need to push back in and touch the hem of his garment again. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've been disappointed. I'm sure that woman was disappointed and she felt, maybe you feel like, I've tried everything. I've had prayer ministry. I've been up the front and I've been prayed for. I've been to this conference and I've been to that conference and I'm still struggling inside. And Jesus wants you. He's inviting you today. He wants to restore your faith and say, come on, I want you to come. I want you to reach out to me. Maybe you feel your pain is too great to do that, but I just want to encourage you today that Jesus is saying, when I was praying about this, I felt like him saying, come, come, be hungry. Stir up that hunger within you again. If you're desperate, take your desperation to Jesus. If you're not desperate, pray that you would be desperate for him, because he is the most important thing. What are we storing up in this world? What are we wasting our time doing? That box in the corner of our room that gives out light and sound can take so much of my time. And sometimes I just need to, God has just been saying, Faye, what are you spending your time doing? What are you focusing your time on? This year I've been really challenged just to press into God, to read his word, to spend time with him, to spend time worshiping him. Pray about those things. And because I have got time, we've all got time, it's just we just choose how we need to spend it. And, you know, I don't know, I'm probably being a bit challenging, but Claudia said that we had to not apologize. So, and I just want to share this verse with you, and I've shared this verse before when I've preached, but and it's from Romans 5, but it's in the Message version. And I feel this is a verse for us, church. There is more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we are never left feeling shortchanged. Quite the contrary, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? He has amazing things for us, and I believe, church, that he wants to put this steely determination in us to press through to him. And you know, just for me, there's this verse in Hebrews I'm just reminded of. You know, it says, make every effort to live in peace. Make every effort to live in peace. The only bit of, you know, most of the time, you know, it's like there's just total grace. There is all of the time, there's total grace. But the only effort we really need to make is just to get into his presence and be with him. And when we're there, it's like, it's a total place of grace. Just know that he's accepting you today and he's calling you back, because there's more to come, church. Do we believe that? There's more to come. So, Jesus was passing through, but he stopped for the one. The woman pressed through the crowd. And what happened? She was impacted by his power. And there were two people here that are impacted by his power. There's one woman who had been in 12 years of pain. And there's a little girl who had had 12 years of privilege, but was dying. There was one woman who was poor and in shame and rejected. There's one little girl who had a life ahead of her, 12 years old, and her dad was a ruler of the synagogue. Maybe he was one of the people that kept this, made sure this lady didn't come into the synagogue, because that was probably his job. He was a ruler. He was overseeing the synagogue. So we've got one woman, 12 years of pain, one little girl, 12 years old. That's not a coincidence, is it? There's two 12s. I actually looked up what 12 meant, symbolism of 12 in the Bible. And it's like this, it's about order. is about the 12 tribes of Israel. It's about 12 apostles, 12 disciples. God brought order into their life. It was like a time of completion for those two young ladies, or old ladies, we don't know. And what I just love about this story is that Jesus wasn't in a hurry. We're always so in a hurry, aren't we? We want God to do this now. We just, everything's Instagram, everything. And instant coffee. No, we don't do that anymore, do we? That's not good. But Jesus wasn't in a hurry, but nobody missed out. And sometimes when we see somebody else get a miracle, we're a little bit jealous of that, aren't we? We think, oh, well, they've got their miracle. I've been praying for 14 years and I still haven't got it. But and maybe Jairus was thinking, my daughter is dying and you are standing here talking to this woman, and you know that she is not even allowed in the synagogue, and you are talking to her, she's made you unclean. And but maybe God was doing something in Jairus. Maybe he was showing him, I'm not the God that keeps people out. This is I am the God that welcomes people in. I am the God that instead of people touch you and they make you unclean, I touch them and they become clean. And you know, perhaps he was teaching him, but something even greater was going to happen. You know, while Jairus stood there, while all of this was happening, this woman had stopped Jesus, the messenger came and said, oh, don't worry the master anymore, your daughter has died. And Jesus says, have faith, believe, and he walks on. He walks on through the crowd and walks to this girl, and she's resurrected from the dead. An even greater miracle happened. She didn't just get healed, she got resurrected. So we have this story, this 12-year-old girl get resurrected from the dead, and this woman in 12 years of pain, and she gets healed. There's two stories, one of healing and one of resurrection. It's amazing what Jesus can do. And Jesus wants to bring healing into our lives, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And he wants to bring resurrection into our lives, where, you know, you may feel like that relationship is dead, or that you are, you know, everything in your life is going wrong. But Jesus wants to bring his resurrection life into your life. He wants you to know, you know, those dreams that have died, he wants to resurrect things in your life. He is the God of healing and restoration and resurrection. He's amazing. You know, I've got friends. I got an email yesterday, as nobody, any of you know, but their marriage, it looks like it's dead. But we were praying this morning for them. We're not going to believe that it's dead. We're going to speak resurrection life over it and pray that God will intervene and a miracle would happen, because we need miracles, and we need miracles for not just for our own lives, but for the people that we know. People out, the people you know need healing. They need resurrection life in their lives, don't they? And we have it. We have that Holy Spirit within us. And we, you know, that verse said we don't have enough containers to contain it all. I think that's cool. So, first of all, these two people were impacted by power. But it doesn't just stop there. They were also impacted by his love. Jesus stopped. Jesus could have just continued walking on. He would have maybe known something had happened, but actually, I'm on a mission, so I'm just going to carry on, you know. But he didn't. He decided to stop, and he stopped because he wanted to encounter her and her to encounter him in relationship. He wanted her not just to be impacted by his power, but also impacted by his love. Because Jesus, the reason Jesus came, the reason Jesus died on the cross was to break that barrier between us and God so that we could enter in. It's all about relationship. It's all about friendship with God. So if that is what he invites us into, he didn't just want her to be healed. He's not a slot machine that we come towards and say, God, can we have this, please? Thank you very much. I'll go now. He doesn't want you just to be a Sunday Christian, just to turn up here and go, very, very nice, done that now. He is inviting us, church, into relationship. He is inviting you into relationship with him. He wants you to be impacted by his love. And he said, you know, Peter, it's always Peter, isn't it? He says, Master, you know, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people pressing in, you know, and I think you probably got it wrong. Somebody may have touched you, but it's okay. But Jesus is insistent. He says, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me. And that comes that moment in the crowd where everybody might have been, well, I didn't touch him. Did you touch him? I didn't touch him. Well, maybe my hand brushed past him, but I didn't feel like any power. And you can feel this woman is probably outside of the crowd, in the shadows, and just thinking, I'm going to have to say. And Jesus, what's the betting that Jesus probably knew who it was, but he was calling her out? And he doesn't expose her. He doesn't go, right, okay, you know, you there, come out. He waits for her. He's calling her out to come out of the shadows and to come forward and to bring her testimony, because he doesn't just want to be a miracle in secret. He wanted that miracle to come out. And you can imagine her coming out and thinking, what is he going to say to me? Is he going to shout at me? I've made him unclean. What are the people going to think? I don't know what they're going to think. Like, they're going to be like, oh, this woman, who is she? She's a nobody. And she comes out of the crowd and she speaks up and she finds her voice. And she says, she tells them what has happened to her. And he's not exposing her, but he's waiting for her to speak up, because he doesn't just want to heal her, but he wants to meet her and he wants to bring her out of the shame that she's been in. And, you know, he wants her to know him. And he says beautiful words to her, his response, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Do you know, she is the only woman in the Gospels that Jesus calls daughter. She's the only one. He calls her daughter. This woman, she's poor. She's in pain. She's an outcast. And he calls her daughter. He doesn't just say, oh, go on, go in peace, woman. But he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. He is inviting her into his family. He's saying, I love you. You're my daughter. You're not just a servant. You're my daughter. You're part of the family. And, you know, Jesus, just a few verses before, he said, you know, the people who are part of my family are those that do my will. And you get this sense where he says, go in peace, go in wholeness, the shalom of God. That he's saying, go and let that faith be spoken out. And she, not only has she, he calls her daughter, but he's given her a voice, and she has spoken out, and she has a testimony to share. She has something to share, and he's saying, what you have to share, your voice is worthwhile, because I wanted you to tell these people so this crowd knew. And I want to say this morning that you are part of his family, that he doesn't just call you friend or just call you servant. He calls you son. He calls you daughter. You are part of his family. And he wants relationship with you. He doesn't just want to be a slot machine of answered prayer. And he doesn't want us to be living in shame. He wants you to know that you are accepted part of his family. That you are a child of God. And that and you have authority when you pray. You are a son and daughter of God. And you're talking to your Father in heaven. And you're saying to him, Father, you know this friend that I have that's really struggling? I'm just bringing them to you. And you can do that. You can do that because you are a child of God. And he doesn't want you to be creeping about in the shadows. He has given you a voice, church. He has given you a voice, son and daughter of God, to give glory to him. You all have a testimony. And some of us will say, oh, testimony is very, you know, there's a King Christian, da, da, da. Your testimony is amazing. And you know, your testimony isn't just one thing that happened 20 years ago. At least I hope it isn't. Your testimony should be an ongoing thing of what Jesus is doing in your life. For me, I have testimonies every week of how Jesus has helped me, because I need him every day. And so on what Jesus has done for me, I want us, church, to be people who are just continually saying, do you know, I was reading the word today and God said this to me. I was in worship today and God said this to me. I was praying today and I just feel like this has changed me and this is what's happened. And I've brought this to God and I've seen answers for this. You all have a testimony, and God wants you to press into him and know that you're a child of God and that you have a voice to speak out. Maybe it's your testimony to share with a friend that they will see breakthrough on. You have a voice. You are part of his family. You are a son and daughter, just like this woman was. Doesn't matter. I love this story. There is one that he calls daughter, who's had 12 years of pain, and one that was already a daughter. There was one that had nothing and one that had everything, but he had a miracle for them both. So it doesn't matter where you're at, what you've got economically, whether you're in or out or up or down. You know, he has for you, and he calls you daughter or son. So I want to tell you a story, just because this doesn't just happen in the Bible, and it happens, you know, it happens today. You know, I'm sure I love asking people how they came to know Jesus, and I know I've spoken to some people in this church, and when I hear their testimonies, I'm like, wow, Jesus is alive. He does that stuff for you. That's a miracle. And but I love, there's this story, and there's a book by a guy called Larry Lee, and Jesus met him while he was in a mental institution, and he just totally just was rocked. God just rocked his world. And straight after that, he was like, I want an opportunity to preach. So he's a new Christian, and he's like, I want an opportunity to preach. So at last, he gets his opportunity, and he goes to this First Baptist Church in so-and-so, wherever, in Texas, or somewhere like that in America. And he preaches, and he notices this guy, you know, it's all this like traditional people, and this guy in the crowd with long hair down to his waist, and like, and he is stoned. He's off his face in the middle there, right in church, and he's sinking. And he preaches, and this guy comes up to him afterwards, and he recognizes him. He was a guy, this is the late 60s, he was in a band called Mouse and Traps or something like that. I don't know, something like that, you know. Somebody might have remembered them. And so the parents thought he was like the scourge of the earth, and all the local people, all the local kids thought he was very, very cool. And he came up to him, and he says to him, you know, man, what you said today, it really meant something to me. And he said, Jerry, what are you doing here in church? His name was Jerry Howells. And he said, what are you doing here in church? And he said, oh, my dad died 6 months ago, and I promised that I would come back every week from university and I'd bring my brother to church. And he said, I've been here for 6 months, and this is the first thing that anyone said that has really meant something to me. And Larry Lee went away from that, and he just couldn't get Jerry out of his mind. And so he gave him a ring, and he said, I'm now the youth pastor of this church. And he said, well, I'm going to, I don't know if he really was, but, and he said, I'm going to go and preach to youth. And he said, could you come and play the organ, and I'll sing and I'll preach and we'll have church. And he was like, you want me to play the organ? And he said, yeah, you know Amazing Grace, don't you? Well, you'll play it, I'll sing, we'll be fine. And this guy was like, when Larry rang, he was counting the blades of grass in the garden. This is where he was at. And he was actually in the middle of a nervous breakdown. He'd been 4 years high on drugs. But Larry said to him, you know, God wants to use you. He's given you a gift, and he wants to use you. And he said, if you come along, I'll get you a date. And Jerry was like, a date with a church girl? And he said, yeah, you know, I'll get you a date, and you come along. So he turns up, and in the driveway, there is like this camper van with curtains, and you know, and there's Larry Lee, and I'll take it up from here. So here I am, I'm sat with my short back and sides haircut, my tape of Jim Neighbours are singing the Lord's Prayer, and the family Bible on the dashboard. When Jerry climbed into the car, his eyes darted from the family Bible to me, back to the Bible, and then straight ahead. Boy, he was quiet. We drove and picked up the girls, but Jerry hardly said a word to anybody. As we stepped into the church, I nodded my head towards the platform, and Jerry said, Jerry, there's the organ, you know what to do. Jerry played Amazing Grace in a way that has never been played before or since. I sang and preached, and we had church. It was about 11:30 when we pulled into the driveway, and after dropping the girls off, Jerry spoke for practically the first time all evening. Larry, is there anything to this Jesus? He asked earnestly. I hardly knew how to respond, because Jerry was confused. He was in the middle of a nervous breakdown, and he was bound with drugs. But I breathed a prayer for help. During the first part of our conversation that night, Jerry asked a lot of questions, and I didn't have the answers to. And sometimes I honestly replied, I don't know, Jerry. But God filled my mouth, and I just kept giving him Jesus. When we got through walking, it was 3:30 in the morning. Jerry stared straight ahead, heaved a deep sigh, and asked, well, how do I get it? So I, deep Christian and experienced soul winner that I was, said, what you do is you open your Bible at Matthew 5, 6 and 7, because that was the only bit of the Bible I knew. And then you get on your knees and you start hollering, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when it hits you, you'll know you've got it. So that night, Jerry Howell did just that. But before he could hit his knees, God had saved him, delivered him from a 4-year drug habit, and called him to preach. And when it was over, Jerry walked to the home of his best friend, Max, the drummer of their band. It was 6 o'clock on the 4th of July, and Max was out in the back garden feeding his rabbits. These were strange people. And when Jerry came around the corner of the house, Max took one look at him and gasped, man, what happened to you? Jerry grinned and explained, I met this weird little dude called Larry Lee, and we talked all night about Jesus. Hey man, how do I get him? Well, Jerry gave it to him straight. You get your Bible, you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, then you get on your knees, and at 7:30 in the morning, my phone rang, and it was Jerry. Larry, I got it. And I came down here, and I told Max about it, and he got it too. But you know how strange he is. You better come over here and check him out. 6 weeks later, a clean-shaven Jerry Howell with a short back and sides haircut went off to Bible college with a weird little dude named Larry Lee. And one day, Jerry announced, Larry, God has called me to preach, and I'm supposed to hold an evangelistic campaign. And that's exactly what he did. Within 6 months of his own conversion, Jerry Howell had led 1,000 people to God. Isn't that amazing? I love that story. I'm sorry it was a bit long, but I just love that. And Jesus can do that for you, and you can do that for other people. It doesn't have to be complicated. Read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and start hollering Jesus. I mean, it's just the stuff, isn't it? You know, we praised the what a beautiful name Jesus, and I was just like, when we were down here earlier, I was just like, you are the light of the world. You are the bread of life. You are the resurrection of life. You are the way, the truth, the life. I was just thinking of all the things Jesus was and Jesus is and Jesus is to come. And like, he is the great I am. He is Jesus. We need to be calling on the name of Jesus more for ourselves, for our families, for this town. God is inviting us to come in. And don't just think, you know, we read those things and we think, oh, you know, that would never be me. Well, why can't it be you? Why can't you be the person who leads other people to Jesus? Why not? You've got the same Holy Spirit as Larry Lee and Jerry Howells. The same Holy Spirit is in you. You're a son and a daughter of God. So I always leave the youth with a challenge. And our challenge today is let's not just pass through life. Let's stop for the one. Let's stop and listen to the Holy Spirit. Let's stop for the one and get him to know who are the other ones that we're meant to stop for in life. And I want to say, don't stop pressing through to Jesus. If you've given up, if you've never, you don't really ever really have spent much time with God, well, Jesus is inviting you. It doesn't have to be complicated. Start crying out to him and saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, come and fill me with your spirit. Jesus, come and teach me how to pray. If you don't know how to pray, just ask him. Just start talking to him. The way we learn to pray is by doing it. And thirdly, you know, I just believe that he wants us to restore our faith. I believe that will happen as we press through to Jesus anyway, as you encounter him yourself. But he wants his power to impact you and the world around you. And he wants not just for his power to impact you, but his love to impact you, so you can impact others with his love. And, you know, I want to encourage us today. You know, we had that time of response earlier about maybe laying some stuff aside in order to press through to Jesus. And I just want to give us the opportunity this morning to just respond to God. And say, God, I want to be impacted by your love and your power again. And I want to, you know, I was thinking as we prayed in the other room this morning, I was thinking, Jesus, I want to walk through life. You know, as we walked through this story this morning, I want to walk through life with you, following you, stopping when you stop. and praying when you pray, and just I'm being so full of the power of God that, you know, people could reach out and find healing, not through me, but through Jesus. And I want to give us an opportunity to respond to this morning, to say, Jesus, you know, and I know, I don't know your pain, and I don't know your disappointment, but I believe that he's saying, come this morning, and he wants you to just recommit and say, I just want to press through to you, Jesus, because I need to be impacted by your love and your power this morning. So maybe could the worship band just come back to the front. And if you just feel that you just want to say, God, I'm coming this morning. And it might be you've been spending loads of time with God, but for me personally, I'm still saying, I'm coming. I'm pressing on right through because I need you, Jesus. I'll have more of you, Jesus. And so if you want that this morning, if you want to say, God, I'm pressing through, pushing other things aside to press through to you, then maybe you could just stand where you are if you feel like the Lord is just speaking to you with that. Would you mind just coming forward? Because I just feel like the woman pressed through the crowd. So if you just feel like you want to do that, just make that step of faith this morning to push through. Maybe some of the prayer team could just come and just begin to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. There's plenty of space. Come forward. And just, you know, just God's power's here. Just, you know, be in a position. You know, open your hands to Jesus this morning. Holy Spirit, I just thank you for every single one of these precious, beautiful children of God, Lord, and everybody across this building. You call them child of God. You call them son and daughter this morning. And Lord Jesus, I just want to pray, God, that you'll just fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, that you'll refresh them with your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, they're just making a stand as they want to push other things aside, and we want to press right in. And Lord God, I pray that you'll impact them with your power. You bring healing, Lord Jesus, and you'll restore faith where there has been disappointment. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll just, they will encounter your love, Lord, this morning. You'll fill them with your love, Lord Jesus. They won't have enough containers to contain your love, but they'll have to give it away. Jesus, will you restore their faith? Lord Jesus, will you restore their heart? Lord, will you stir up hunger? Lord Jesus. Jesus. Maybe we could all stand. Everybody, let's just stand. Jesus, we just pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for every single person here. Lord, nobody is left out. Lord Jesus, nobody's on the outside of the crowd and that can't find a way through, because Jesus, you have made a way for us. You made a way for us to come, Lord God, and we come, we press through, Lord Jesus, to you. We just reach out and touch you, Lord, this morning, Lord, because we need you in our lives. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, for those that are hurting, Lord Jesus, that you will bring your healing. Lord Jesus, I pray that where things in our life have died, Lord God, and we need your resurrection life, Lord, I pray for your resurrection life to pour out upon this church this morning. Lord Jesus, I pray for your love just to come, Lord Jesus, and touch every heart. Lord, nobody is outside of your love. Nobody is outside of your love. Lord, I pray that you'll lift off shame, Lord Jesus, lift off shame and guilt this morning. We come to you, and Lord Jesus, we touch you because you are the one who can make us clean. Lord Jesus, you are the one who can say, go in peace, go in peace. We come to you this morning.